Hey, and welcome back to Lutheran Answers. This week we speak with Ryan Moody, who grew up Baptist but became a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon faith, and then left Mormonism for Christianity again, finding his home in confessional Lutheranism. Very interesting conversation, and I hope you enjoy it and learn from it as much as I did.
Honest with you, I hope my cats aren't too loud this entire time. It's like all they do is be annoying. Ryan, welcome to the show, bud.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So I have you on today because you were a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for a little while there.
Yes.
My grandmother also was for a little while. I have a lot of LDS friends, and it's a very interesting group of people for evangelism and ministry and things like that. I kind of wanted to get your take as someone who's been there and done that and has the T-shirt, just sort of your perspective on the LDS faith and how you got into it, how you got out of it, and how you talk to other people. And I'm especially interested in all this because, like I said, I have so many friends, but I also noticed that there's a trend among people that leave the LDS faith to fall into atheism as opposed to Christianity, which is odd to me. But I just kind of want to talk about those things for the next little bit. I want to lead in with, do you think the Mormon faith is a Christian faith?
I do not believe the Mormon faith is a Christian faith. I do believe it's possible to be in the Mormon church and still be a Christian by the grace of God.
Right.
But if you believe the core tenets of Mormonism, I don't believe you can really be considered a Christian.
So what were you before you found the LDS Church?
So I was raised Baptist.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't catechized or anything. And then I kind of lost the faith entirely around 19. And I was basically an agnostic by the time I found Mormonism.
Okay. What precipitated that slide into sort of atheism, agnosticism?
I think it was just because, like, growing up, we went to church very sporadically. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't have a concrete foundation. You know, I was baptized as a Baptist, but of course I was taught in 4 weeks that didn't mean anything.
Right.
So, I mean, eventually I just stopped going. Just stop believing.
Yeah, just kind of dragged off by the culture.
Yes, definitely.
So how did you end up a Mormon?
Two nice young men
knocked on my door.
No, not in this case. So my wife and I, well, she wasn't my wife at the time, but we moved out to Idaho. We were originally from Indiana. Moved out to Idaho, and we made some friends here who happened to be Mormon. And my wife was talking to them and kind of asking them about their faith and everything. And I had heard about Mormons, but I didn't really like think much about it. Mm-hmm. And then she was talking to them, and they were kind of going back and forth. And I was really having none of it until one day I just made a really bad mistake. And I was going to leave my wife. So that was what it was, my mistake. And so I leave. And we both worked at the same place at the time. So it was really like...
awkward?
Very awkward. Right. But the next day... So, and it was completely like, I don't even know why I don't even understand it. But anyways, so the next day I go and I'm a mess. And my coworker, who's also a Mormon, notices, like, let me go get a priesthood holder and he's going to give you a priesthood blessing. And I'm like, I don't believe in any of this, but what do I have to lose? And Remy, even to this day, I can't explain it. It's like magic. Like, that first blessing instantly felt calm, instantly felt like nothing was really wrong. And from then, I started reading the Book of Mormon, and they told me to read it, pray about it. And eventually, my wife and I reconciled. And then we started taking the lessons with the missionaries.
Interesting. That's fascinating. You very much, I know the LDS Church puts a big emphasis on the personal testimony. You very much have that personal testimony. And would you say you have that burning in the bosom they always talk about?
I definitely felt that burning in the bosom. Yes.
That's wild. That's wild. So you start going through, how long were you in the LDS faith?
I was in it for just a little over a year.
Okay. Was your wife full into it? Was she down?
Yes. Yeah, she was way more down than I was. So by the time we started talking to the missionaries, I had kind of found my old faith again. I was like, uh-oh, they're not Trinitarian, you know. So then I start going into it as like an evangelizing opportunity, even though I know absolutely nothing about my own faith. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to pick points at their stuff, and that gets me nowhere.
Correct, yeah. So the other thing that people do that's a big mistake when they want to evangelize LDS people, the two biggest mistakes they make are to attempt to poke holes in the person's faith directly or make fun of Mormonism directly. Yes. And neither of those things would work. If someone came up to me and started saying you shouldn't be a Lutheran and then started calling Martin Luther an anti-Semite, like, I'm just not going to listen to you. Right. Like, I'm going to. OK, so you're not here for a serious discussion about what Lutheranism is. You just want to mock this guy. So interesting. So that didn't work. That didn't poking no. holes at the missionaries didn't work.
Didn't work at all.
Okay. Okay. So your wife is into it then. Was she mad you were trying to poke holes?
It was a little bit of a contention between us, but she was ended up being okay with, like, she's like, you do you, I'll do me.
Did you ever just sort of come around on it, or were you always a little skeptical? Or
I think I always had a little bit of skepticism, but once my wife got baptized in, I was like, I have to get in there too, because there's such a focus on in that religion of like family.
Yeah.
So yeah. I ended up going into it as well.
Well, and I had I don't know if you listened to it, but a dear friend of mine, Tanner Guzzi, is a men's fashion consultant and an LDS member. And he was on the podcast, and I had briefly mentioned that, like, having a strong marriage and having kids is literally a part of the religion. And I don't know if, like, a lot of people know that, but as a member of the LDS Church, like, you're actually commanded. So the idea there, they believe in the pre-incarnation of the soul, so that you are in heaven as a spirit, and that God, the Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother, are always having spirit children. And you, as a faithful member of the LDS Church, need to have as many physical babies as you can, so those spirit children can have bodies. Because if they don't have the earthly experience, they can never hope to make it to the celestial kingdom. And so you're literally, by not having kids, you are condemning countless souls to outer darkness, or, you know, at best well, not even the celestial kingdom, would it be? Because they don't have physical bodies.
Yeah, you have to have physical body to go through.
To, like, get in heaven. Yeah. That's wild. Do you guys have kids?
We do. We have two kids now.
Okay. Was that during or after Mormonism?
We had our first kid during Mormonism.
Okay. Okay. How did that go? Like, was a lot of pressure to baptize and have kids, or?
Oh, you can't baptize a baby in the Mormon church.
That's wild. That's wild. Until
they're 8 years old is when they get baptized.
Wow. You would think they'd be in on the baptizing babies.
Oh, completely against it.
Why
it's
is that?
8 years old. So somebody told me it's an age of accountability thing, mm-hmm. of course. So they're perfect for the first 7 years of their life. Then when they turn eight, sin comes in, and then they can make their own choice to be a member of the Mormon church.
Okay. So I don't have children myself. My wife and I have not been blessed in that way yet. Let me ask you, as a father of two, father twice over now, are they perfect until they're eight?
No, not even close.
They're not perfect little sinless angels?
No, not even a little.
Wow. Wow. I'm shocked, flabbergasted.
I know. I was too.
What started to crack for you with the Mormon faith?
So I never really got on board with their view of the Trinity.
Okay.
How it's three separate gods all working together. But then there's also just billions of other gods. It's not even just three gods. And I was like, I just can't completely get behind that. But they assured me if I keep reading the Book of Mormon, keep believing, that it'll all work out. And it didn't. But the big thing that got me is after I had my first kid, I was reading, trying to go through all of the LDS scriptures, but I was going to start with the Bible. So reading through the Bible really helped, because I got to Jeremiah where they're talking about all the false prophets. I'm like, oh no, I'm sitting underneath false prophets right now. And that was the very beginning of the end.
How did you convince your wife?
I didn't for a very long time. So I left the church a little after a year, and she stayed in it. And I mean, she's still on the rolls today, but
It's notoriously hard to be removed from the rolls. I've read stories and knew people who literally had to hire attorneys mm-hmm. to get them officially out of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yes, it's really, and it was easier when I tried, because all I had to do was write a letter to my bishop explaining why I wanted out. But now they have like quitmormon.org, which they do all the process for you, which is awesome. But it was easier for me, but she still believed for quite some time after I left.
Mm-hmm. She's not still a Mormon now?
No, not anymore.
Okay. Where does she fall after Mormonism?
We're both Lutherans now.
Okay. Okay. So how did you, okay. I have a lot of questions. I got to pace myself. Okay. So things started to crack for you around the Trinity, around false prophets. It was reading the Bible almost as if the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I think Abraham Lincoln said that. I'm not sure. Somebody. So you read, things start kind of going awry. What was it? What led you to Lutheranism out of Mormonism?
I knew I couldn't go back to being a Baptist.
Thank God.
Yes. As a Baptist, I had no fight in me against Mormonism, really. Mm. You know, I had nothing to ground my faith in.
Yeah.
And then so I looked to older versions of Christianity, if you will. So I looked into Catholicism, but I was like, I just doesn't feel right. So I looked into Eastern Orthodox, and then finally I hit Lutheranism. Like, oh, well, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I was still skeptical about on the baptizing of babies, because that was so ingrained in me as a
twice
Baptist.
Over.
Yes.
Yeah.
But eventually I met with a pastor out here, and he gave me the small catechism and the large catechism, and I read both of them before I went to my first service. And wow. Yeah.
There's a pastor friend of mine that when he meets people like at the gym or at a restaurant or whatever, he doesn't hand out Bibles. He hands out the small catechism.
It's a great tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like it makes sense. It makes sense. And the Bible is like right there in it. You can, you know, that's one of the things about Lutheranism that I enjoy is when you go talk to any of these other people, you know, if you were to ask one of the bishops at the LDS Church, why do we believe this? He would say, well, Joseph Smith, well, Doctrine and Covenants, whatever, well, Pearl of Great Price, this and that. If you ask like a Presbyterian, you know, they're going to talk about, oh, well, Calvin or Knox or Wesley or whoever. Well, I guess that would be a Methodist would talk about Wesley. But, you know, everybody has their things. The Catholics want to talk about the Pope. You go and ask a Lutheran pastor a question. He says, well, let's turn open to John and see what it says.
Exactly. You
know? And that's something. Mm-hmm. So what was it like? Give me the time frame here. You leave the LDS Church. How long until you settled on Lutheranism? Were you attending a Lutheran church while your wife was in the LDS Church? How'd all that go?
Yes, I was. I was actually being confirmed in a Lutheran church when my wife was still LDS.
Wow. Now, so here's a big difference. So you were being confirmed in a Lutheran church while your wife was still LDS. But the LDS wouldn't do the equivalent the other way, right? Like, I mean, they'll let your wife be a member or whatever, but the really important stuff, what I would consider confirmation in the LDS church anyway, the temple work and all that, she wouldn't be able to do because you're not a member, right? Like she could
She did get to do the temple work. But the only thing she couldn't do is be sealed to me.
Gotcha.
Okay. So she was able to do all the other stuff.
Okay. So how did she feel about it, about you being a Lutheran, her being a Mormon?
For the most part, we both just, it was harder for me.
Okay.
Right. See her still be in the LDS church. She was more just like, as long as you believe something, because it was hard when we were both agnostic, atheist.
Yeah.
Situation. Did so she come, like, as long as you believe something.
Did she come from an atheist background?
Kind of like me, where we both went to a Baptist school. That's how we met, and just very sporadic church growing.
Yeah. So you said that you started studying historic faith and Lutheranism made sense. What made your wife come around? What was her come around on it?
Oh man. So after me like trying to share the gospel several times with her, Higher Things had a video about the gospel. I sent that to her and she watched, she's like, okay. And she was interested in some more. And then Pastor Wolf Mueller did a series of going through the Psalms where he's writing down stuff. I don't know if you've seen it. But anyways, he was able to show Jesus in the Psalms, and that like blew her mind. And then like from that day on, she was like, okay, I got to get out.
Wild. Wild. Is there a lot of pressure to stay once you're in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like it's very, so when we were looking into the church, we were like rock stars. Everybody wanted to have us for dinner.
Yeah.
And we had so many friends. And then when I leave the church, those things kind of stop happening.
Mm-hmm.
So we still have some friends that are part of the faith, and they still love us and we love them, you know. But a lot of the others I have no contact with anymore, and I've seen them on the street and they like look the other way.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a culture to stay if you're in there.
Yeah, I've experienced that myself. My wife and I, we've met with missionaries several times. I always invite them in whenever they come over. Yeah, come on, let's see. Let's chat about it. But we'll invite them over for dinner sometimes. And I know, so on missions, they rotate. They rotate around on their mission. They don't just like stay in one exact spot. And so like every 3 months or so, my cell phone will bang and it's a text from the Mormon missionary number, which I have saved. And they'll be like, hey, we just got here. It's Elder so-and-so. And we were scrolling through the contacts list and we saw your name. Thought we'd reach out. Great. Come on over. But we, one time they invited us, I think this was probably about a decade ago when we first got married, and they invited us to their church. And I thought it would be a fun cultural experience. I'd only been to a Mormon church a few times. When I lived in Arizona, I dated a Mormon girl and went to her church a couple times. So we went, and the same thing. There was a guy, he's real well-to-do around town, LDS guy. And he was all about, hey, you know, even if, you know, you don't like the church or whatever, you're great people. I want to, you know, let's stay in touch. I want to help you out. You know, I was trying to do, I had a little web design business at the time, and he was like, oh, let me send some clients your way and this and that. And, one day we were talking and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm really not feeling the LDS church. And yeah, same thing, just ghosted. I literally just never heard from him again. And it's just the wildest experience to have someone just so transparently, conditionally in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. I know a lot of people, they want to minister to missionaries, and I get that. And I think you should. I think that's probably one of the best times you can, because they're 19, 20 years old. They have doubts about their faith, like every 19-year-old. They're far away from home. They have no support network and all this. And those things all actually kind of work in your favor, but they also work against you, because I know missionaries that have left the LDS church while on their mission, and the LDS church literally just leaves them wherever they are. So like you're from Kansas and you're doing a mission in Portugal, and you get convinced by the local Roman Catholic that you should be a Catholic, and the LDS church literally just leaves you in Portugal. You're 19, you're an adult, you figure out your way home. And that's wild.
Yes, it is.
That's
insane. I can't even imagine.
No. A lot of them, like, you know, and that's, while those things work in your favor, a lot of those factors, that's one of the reasons why they can also work against you, because, you know, what 19-year-old wants to be stranded halfway across the world?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so,
but if you can just plant that seed,
yeah,
maybe that's all it takes.
Yeah. And the LDS church this year, president, who's the current president? Do you know? I don't know.
Oh man.
Whatever.
I always forget his name.
Yeah. I, in my mind, it's always still Monson, because that's when I figured out that they had presidents like that.
Let me Google it.
Okay. But he's put a big emphasis on reading the Old Testament this year. It's like,
oh,
the,
really?
Yeah, the big thing for the LDS church. Let's all read the Old Testament.
Russell M. Nelson.
Let's read the Old Testament. And so the LDS church is putting out a lot of studies on the Old Testament and this and that. And it really presents a great opportunity to talk to them about things, I think.
Absolutely.
So did you own a quad?
Yes, I was gifted a quad for my baptism.
Do you still have it?
I don't. I got rid of it. I got rid of all of my stuff.
Yeah. For those at home that are playing at home and don't know, what is a quad? Please explain it.
So it has the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Book of Mormon, Doctrines and Covenant, and the Pearl of Great Price.
I guess it's, so that's definitely five things, but I guess they call it quad because Old Testament, New Testament, they lump together as just Bible.
Yeah. They're just calling it the Bible.
Yeah. So, what is the Pearl of Great Price?
I honestly never read much of the Pearl of Great Price. I was more into the Doctrines and Covenants.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. What's Doctrine and Covenants, please?
That is where they would write down all of the old prophecies of like Joseph Smith, even Brigham Young. And it was like his modern day scriptures.
Mm. So the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is also considered to be God's one true living prophet on the earth.
Yes.
And whatever he says is doctrine.
Right. Yes, until somebody else comes and says something different. And then the doctrine has changed.
But so, but they also believe that doctrine cannot change.
Right.
So it, when doctrines do change, they say, oh, well, that wasn't a doctrine. That was just a policy.
Exactly. Or the prophet wasn't talking as a prophet. He was just talking as a man.
Right. Right. Sort of a Pope ex cathedra kind of a thing. Oh, exactly. That was just the Pope. That was just him. That was just Francis. That was just Bergoglio speaking. It wasn't Papa Francis. Yeah. Exactly. That kind of a thing. That's interesting. That's so fascinating. What do you wish someone would have talked to you about when you were investigating the Mormon Church? Like, what do you wish your Christian friends and family had said?
Don't. everybody was really supportive of it. And I'm like,
that's wild.
I couldn't be. It is, isn't it? Like, well, that's the thing is none of my Christian friends or family, like, were solidly Christian. Like, they went to church maybe on Sundays. Excuse me. But nobody was catechized that I knew.
Right.
At all. So there's like, yeah, try it out, I guess.
That's wild. That's so, and so I have a lot of personal interactions with LDS people because I lived out in Arizona, right on the border of Mesa, Arizona, which was literally founded by the LDS Church. Yes. It's like 98% LDS out there. And so I had a lot of interaction there. And I also really like them as people. And I kind of put myself around them. But I realized that most people probably don't have that much interaction with the LDS Church on the day to day. It's not as big as they want you to think.
Yeah, unless you're in certain areas of America, you don't have a lot of interaction with them.
Do you think your friends and family just thought that they're just a different kind of Christian?
I don't know. Maybe. Now they don't.
Right.
I've talked with them, but yeah, maybe. I hope so. That's the best spin on it.
Do you have any interaction with missionaries or anything like that? And
haven't for a while. So I left and then they kept coming around for a while, but after probably about a year after I left, they kind of stopped coming.
Were they coming around to try and like bring you back?
Yes. Okay. Then I knew how to talk this time and I would actually present the gospel instead of, oh yeah. Like, did you know Joseph Smith was a false prophet?
Right. Yeah. Which never works.
No,
there are two things that I have done to devastating effect. I don't know if they were effective in proselytizing, but definitely effective in ending the interaction. One time I had some LDS guys and they were over and they were pretty plucky. Anything that I wanted to say, this was back when I thought you could just argue with them. Anything I wanted to say, they had a good answer for. You know, they're Mormons here in the Bible Belt, so they got to know their stuff. And they went back and forth. And so then finally, I just point blank asked one. I said, is God a physical person like me or is he a spirit? And they said, he's a physical person. I said, did Jesus ever lie? And they said, well, no, Jesus is perfect. He never lied. I said, can you read John 4:24 for me? Which is where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, God is a spirit. Period. And they looked at that and he read it out loud. And the other guy like leaned over and looked. And one of them was using, I think, one of my Bibles. So the other one pulled out his quad and he flipped and he read it. And then like they flipped to some section of like notes in a notebook and they were looking and they kind of talked amongst themselves. And then the guy goes, well, I think we got to go now. It's about time to leave. I just never saw them again. That was it. The only other thing I've ever done that's ended in interaction quickly was the Hans Feeney. Have you seen his Lutheran satire video with the the missionaries
with Donald and Connell.
Yeah, where they defeat Mormonism in like 40 seconds or whatever it is. I did that. Yeah. I ran that bit on
that one too.
Yeah, and that was devastatingly effective. That was a good one. But I did have some missionaries most recently stop by my house and we got to talking, and one of them expressed interest in Bible translations and what's up with different Bible. 'Cause we get to talking about like the Joseph Smith translation, and we just start talking about the history of translations, and they were like, yeah, well, you know, the King James was flawed, but blah, blah, blah. And this is why Joseph had to retranslate this and that. But otherwise the King James was great. And so we get to talking about this, and I was like, well, if the King James is so good, why isn't the Revised Standard any good? Because they were produced near enough the same time and from the same source, like, you know. And so we had a good conversation, and I want to think probably one of those guys went home and got to look in it. I set them up. I did them real dirty, man. I got to confess. Cause they were like, how can we get other Bible translations? Like, where do you get them? They were legitimately curious. And I said, go to every different type of church that you see, Baptist, Presbyterian, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, knock on the door. And when the pastor comes to the door, just say, hey, we're missionaries from the LDS Church, but we were hoping that you had a different translation of the Bible than the one we're used to reading. Can you give us one? I said, because every church will have just, you know, we have a whole fund at our time on the board. I see it in the budget. We have a whole fund dedicated to just buying Bibles to give away. Like, every church has that. And hopefully they'll get pulled into a room with a pastor. You know? Hopefully I tricked them.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Worked out. So how do you find Lutheranism against Mormonism? How are you finding Lutheranism? How long have you been a Lutheran, first off?
Okay. So I'm coming up on 6 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. 5 years confirmed.
Cool.
I'm just counting it from when I started going to a Lutheran church.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my third week in a Lutheran church, my pastor sat me and my wife down and just, like, I don't know, quizzed us on, because I already mentioned, like, hey, we've been investigating this for a while, and I've been talking to my wife about the catechism. And he just, like, sat us down and, like, quizzed us over the catechism over the course of like 3 hours, and then was like, all right, great, you're confirmed, let's go get a beer. So how do you find Mormonism versus Lutheranism? Like, how is Lutheranism different?
I like that Lutheranism doesn't change. Like, we have the truth, and it's not going to change tomorrow or the next day or even the day after that. But with Mormonism, you don't have any such. And then you have to just roll with the punches if that happens. Like, well, I guess we believe this now.
That's wild.
Does that happen frequently? It just happened not too long ago where the prophet just said, it might not have been the prophet, one of the elder, the quorum of the 12 said that we don't necessarily believe that we get our own world to populate in the next life. And that was a huge blow, because that's what I was taught when I was there. Like, that was the big thing, is that's what we're working for, to get our own world to populate.
Yeah, to be your own heavenly father. About that.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's wild. That's crazy. So,
and before that, it was the priesthood for the African American, for the blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just all kinds of different things. Subtle, but it happens a lot.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's big. I didn't know that was a thing that had happened. I honestly expected you to go to works is where I expected you to go. It's such a works-based.
It is a works-based religion. It's been a while since I've thought about Mormonism, but yeah, at the time it's definitely a high demand religion.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible for anyone to satisfy those demands?
Not if they're honest with themselves. But normally they'll pick out like three or four things that they can keep and like, yeah, I'm doing it. Right. So no coffee, no alcohol, or the typical, the biggest things. And then two other things you want to do.
Yeah. So self-improvement seems to be like almost baked in. Like it's not explicitly a doctrine in Mormonism that like you need to work out and eat right and dress well and live the perfect life in suburbia. Like that's not doctrine, but it almost feels like all but implied, right? Because you're supposed to be the best version of yourself that you can be. That's sort of their view of sanctification.
Exactly.
Yeah. The people that look like they're doing that, do you think they're doing that?
No, I do think some of them have themselves convinced that they're doing it.
Right.
But, everybody has sins, has flaws.
Yeah.
But the point is you don't let your neighbor see them. Yeah. I think is what Mormonism's about.
I know I have Mormon friends myself that will, even the ones that look like they have it all together, will cop to their sin publicly, but then say like, oh, but I'm working on this and that. But that doesn't really, that doesn't hold water in Mormonism, does it?
No, you be perfect.
Right, right. There's like, not try. There's no try to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is so heavy.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. I mean, like the ten commandments, that's 10 things. And I can't even be awake more than 40 minutes without screwing up three of them. So like that's, and they add so much.
Books and books on it. Yeah.
Books, whole books. And one of the books is just always growing. They're always at Doctrine and Covenants, right? Like they're adding things to it as they go. That's insane. From your experience, real life Mormons, are they hopeful at all? Like they're such nice people, such hardworking people, but are they hopeful in any way?
I wasn't. I don't know. Again, I don't think they would tell me knowing right. that I've left the church. They seem like they're okay, but nobody's ever said anything otherwise.
Yeah. I just can't imagine that you're hopeful. And you gotta be going home at the end of the day, laying in bed, looking at the ceiling, thinking, God, I'm not making it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, yeah, if it's after all you can do, when are you ever going to do enough?
Right. Yeah. When are you going to do all you can do? No one does all they can do.
No.
That's like half the atonement. You know, there's atoning for all the bad things you did. But then there's also like that. So like in confession, what do we say in our corporate confession? The things I have done and the things I have left undone, right? Half the sin isn't doing the bad thing. It's not doing the good thing when you could have, you know?
Exactly.
Am I saying that, you know, if you drive by a homeless guy on your commute every day and you don't give him a dollar, you're sinning? Yes, I am. And that's a problem. And, you know, you should be thankful that Christ is there for that.
Exactly.
How do you,
that his grace is there for that, not after you've done the dollar and then
yeah, his grace, right. Yeah. Yeah. His grace is there, whether you give the guy a dollar or not.
Exactly.
Cause even if you give the guy a dollar, you're probably doing it for the wrong reasons anyway. So who cares?
Or you could have given him 10.
Right. Then, exactly. Yeah. 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 So how would you, if you had a Mormon friend knock on your door and they had doubts, how would you explain the gospel, you think?
So I would talk to them about their doubts. I would ask them what it was. And then I'd be like, just rest in Jesus. Like he did it all. He didn't say it's finished. If you can do everything, he said it's finished on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't like thinking about the cross, you know, yeah, that was one of my big hangups before I became a Mormon. I was like, why don't you guys have crosses in your buildings? Well, we just like to look at the resurrection. It's like, yeah, but you're skipping a pretty important part
pretty
here.
Pretty important part. You know who else doesn't like crosses and crucifixes? The demon possessed.
That's true.
Demons don't like those things.
No, can't stand them.
Can't stand them. I find that all so interesting. It's so, thank you for coming on and the perspective.
Thank you.
Inside the Mormon Church. What do you assume we have some Mormon listeners out there right now? Is there anything that you would like to tell them?
First of all, I'm praying for you. Jesus is enough. You don't have to do any, like, it's look to Jesus. Don't look to yourself. I don't know how else to.
Yeah.
And ask a pastor, preferably Lutheran, about the Trinity.
Preferably Lutheran. Hopefully not like there's some guy going to go end up at like a Oneness Pentecostal church and be like, explain the Trinity to me.
Explain it to me. I'll figure it out.
That's awesome. Ryan, thank you so much. Is there anything I can promote for you? Anything we can push out?
Do you wanna... I don't have anything, but a thing that's helped me with witnessing to Mormons is actually Truth and Love Ministries. Yes. It's a Lutheran. Yeah. So they're awesome. And I want to give them a shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll link the book Speaking Truth and Love and the website TILM.org in the description. They're amazing. Thank you so much, Ryan. It's been a pleasure, man.
All right. Thank you.